Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Monday, January the 22nd, 2024, and we are in the third week of Epiphany on the church calendar. This will lead us up to Ash Wednesday, and then it shifts into a season of Lent. So, yeah, so we're doing our readings through this season on a two-year cycle. And so today's readings are from Genesis 14, Hebrews 8, and John 4. Yeah. Hope you guys had a great weekend. What did we do? It was a cold weekend. It was pretty chilly down here, as I think it was pretty much everywhere across the U.S. We're getting our like patio sealed, and so we got yard furniture all over the place outside. It looks like a yard sale, or it looks like one of them, country fights. Somebody got mad at somebody, threw all their stuff out in the yard. You know what I mean? That's what it looks like. Like, ooh, somebody got upset. They threw his chair, a table, everything out in the yard. But it's done. It looks great. Shout out to East Lake Power Wash. He did an amazing job, Lucas. If you're looking for someone who will seal your pavement or pavers or need resealing, you did a fantastic job. But he probably won't travel to Virginia or South Carolina or Ohio, but if you're in Tampa, he'll do it, I'm sure. All right. Yes, Pastor Ron's message yesterday was great. He always does a great job. Appreciate him. Reminder of using kind words and the power of kind words. Yeah. All right, y'all, let's dive in. First reading is from Genesis chapter 14, beginning at verse 8. Let's do it. You know what we do. We read, we pray, we change the world. All right, this is Abraham and Lot, his nephew Lot, beginning at verse 8. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, marched out and drew up their battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, title king of Goim. Lots of names here. Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar. Four kings against five. Okay, there we go. That's the bottom line, guys. Why don't we, you know? Okay, so you got four kings against five. See, I mean, that woke me up. You got to muscle through those names. Not for the faint of heart, guys. I mean, you just got to dive in and try to, you know, get your mouth to work to pronounce those names sometimes. Now, the Valley of Siddim was full of tar pits. And when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of the men fell into them, and the rest fled to the hills. The four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. Then they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. A little hostage situation going on here. A man who had escaped came and reported this to Abram, the Hebrew. Now, Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram. Okay. When Abram heard about his relative, that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. You know, sometimes you just got, yeah, a lot of A's. Sometimes you just got to call the 318. You know, that's what Abraham did. He said, it's time to call the 318. Time to call up the 318. Take care of this. Somebody put the 318 on the phone. So that's what Abraham said. He's not Abraham yet. He's still Abram. So they called up 318. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them. Mm-hmm. Abram and the 318 took care of that, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. Up there in North Dakota, there was 318 was dispatched up there to North Dakota. I'm sorry, that's not what it says. North of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot. Successful mission. And his possessions. The 318, they go up there. They're like, we're going to get Lot, and we're going to get everything they took from that boy. We're going to bring it all back. So they go up there. They snatch Lot, bring him, found him up in north of Damascus, brought him home. And everything that boys try to take from him, they took it right back. You don't want to mess with a 318. Morning, everybody. Welcome. Recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. Everybody coming home. They brought them all home. Successful rescue mission right there. Special ops. Going in, taking care of business, bringing it all back. 17. After Abram returned from defeating Kedorlaomer, I don't know, guys. I know I got a degree in this stuff, but I don't have a degree in names. And the king allied with him. The king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheva. That is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High and blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand. So this is the appearance of Melchizedek. Just like, boom, just on the pages of scripture. And we know from places like Hebrews, we'll probably read some here in just a minute. You know, this is a Christ-like figure. A eternal priesthood in that sense. Just kind of appears on the pages of scripture, pointing to the God Most High. Then Abram gave a tenth of everything. He gave a tenth to Melchizedek as an offering. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom with raised hand, I have sworn on oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you. not even a thread or a strap or a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. Wow. So the king of Sodom wants to, you know, give Abram all this stuff. And Abram's like, nah, I don't want it to be like that. I don't want it to be where a man gets the glory for what God's gonna do. All right, let's jump over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8, 1 through 13. Welcome, everybody. Here we go. Right on cue. The high priest of a new covenant. Talking about Melchizedek and all that. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do not have such a high priest who sat down. One little word changes the whole sentence. You ever notice that? Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. So the physical physical temple is a shadow and copy of what is in heaven. And human priests serve in it and bring gifts and sacrifices as part of their service. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. What do you think those better promises are? I think they're rooted in Jesus, right? The better promises are promises that are related to the promises that are through Jesus Christ. It's the same God. It's not in the sense that these are different promises, other than we are now saved by grace through faith, not by works of the law. So the promises now are based on faith. And in some ways, they always were. I mean, you always were supposed to have the right heart. You were always supposed to have the right trust in God, even in the Old Testament, as you were adhering to religious rules. It should have been done with a pure heart, with a true love for God. But clearly in the New Testament, is based on faith. It is not works of righteousness. It is the work of righteousness that Jesus did for us. Verse 7. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. If the old covenant was perfect, why don't we have a new covenant? Well, because it needed to be perfected. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God. Well, you see the difference there, right? In the Old Testament, the law was external, right? It was like literally you had the law, tablets, teaching. But here we see that God is going to write the law, the moral code, as it were, on our minds and hearts through the Spirit. God's going to be in us. He's going to write those, his indwelling Spirit is going to write those on our minds and hearts. We're going to be carrying along inside of us, as it were, the Ten Commandments, this moral code, this sense of what God desires for us to do. I will be their people, and they will be my. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. That's the good news of the new covenant, isn't it? By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. So people who try to say, you know, you still got to keep the Old Testament law, you still got to keep all the Old Testament rules. No, you don't. It's obsolete. That old method is obsolete. It was a shadow. So when people start like mentioning all those, you know, Levitical laws, which there's a lot there. Not all laws are the same. I mean, there are religious laws, there are civil laws. They're not always the same. Many of those law ethical laws, just for ethics. So they're not all the same. So just to say that. But when people start throwing those Old Testament Levitical laws around, remember that the Old Testament law, all of that was pointing towards Jesus. And so no, which is good, because you know there's some rough things they had to say about bald-headed people in there. You know, bald-headed people, that wasn't a good thing. So praise the Lord that's obsolete. Gonna be sending the 318 out for all the bald headed people. So amen. Amen. Amen, people. But yeah, it's obsolete. Jesus, all pointing to Jesus. Oh man. John chapter 4. 43 through 54. John chapter 4, 43 through 54. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a man, a certain royal official, whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Verse 48. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told them, you will never believe. A little bit of a chastisement there, a little bit, right? The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. Wow. He just says the word. Didn't even have to go. It's like, your son will live. Just sends the word. Bam. Pastor Ron talked about that a little bit yesterday. God, the power of God's word. God spoke and bam, there was light. Bam, there was dark. Bam, there was a sun and moon. And here Jesus speaks and bam, the son is healed. Second part of verse 50. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. That's a good word for us, to take Jesus at his word. We need to take Jesus at his word. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news the boy was living. Well, of course, right? We know that. That's what Jesus does. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign of Jesus. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Your son will live. Him and his whole household believed. Wonder what the theme is in all of those. There's obviously the theme of Jesus as the perfect high priest, and you know, even being able to intervene and heal those that are seeking God. And he realized that the exact time the son was healed was when Jesus said the word. You know, sometimes there's a delay between when God does a miracle and when we realize God did a miracle. You ever notice that? Like, sometimes God has already done the thing, delivered you, set you free, brought the whatever you were in need of. It's already done, but we don't discover it until later. We look, oh, God already did that. He did that 2 days ago. He did that last week. I didn't even know it. It's a great promise. Sometimes, you know, there's a little delay between when it's done and when we realize it's done. God is good, though. But it happens as soon as he wants it to. God is always on time, man. It's always on time. His timing is perfect. I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Sometimes we want a little earlier. But God is good, and he wants good for you. So, let's pray. You know, let's dispatch the 318. The spiritual 318 to take care, like we read over in chapter 14 of Genesis, to get back all that God wants for us. It's an interesting analogy, right? The 318 that Abram dispatched that brought back everything that was taken and stolen. That when we pray, we're dispatching the spiritual 318 to bring back what the enemy has taken. So, hey, well, let's pray that whatever the enemy has taken from you will be returned. God promises that he will. He will restore everything that the enemy takes from us. Let's do it. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, that you are strong and powerful. and that you want good for us. Lord, thank you for these readings in the Old Testament and the New Testament that point to you and remind us of your power and your ability to just speak the word, and it is. And God, we thank you that you brought everything that we see into existence by your mere spoken word. And you call that which is not as though it is, and it becomes what you call it. Lord, I thank you for my friends. I pray your blessing and peace upon each one of them, Lord. Lord, some have things that they feel like have been taken from them. They've lost, maybe from the enemy. God, I pray that it would be restored. It would be restored in your name. Lord, that that you might receive the glory. And that there would be no doubt, just like Abram said, I don't want all this stuff. I don't want you to just give me this stuff, because I want what God wants for me to have. so that you can get all the credit, Lord. And so, Lord, we trust you, we believe you, and we look to you today. May you strengthen and encourage each and every person today. May they be aware of your power and might at work in them, writing your holy word on our minds and hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on today. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Jumping over to Genesis 15 and Hebrews and continuing to walk through each of those three books. Thank you guys for being on today. Thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing the podcast. Really appreciate that. Enjoy your day. Hope you make this Monday a great day. We'll be back on Tuesday as we dive into the Word of God again together. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.